us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for creating a brand new day, the day of the Lord, where you gather us to worship you, the creator, the sustainer, and the redeemer of our life. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for your ministry. Thank you for your enduring mercy and unending, unchanging grace upon each one of us to remember us so that we can remember you. May your Holy Spirit continue to hover over us, to teach us and to guide us and also let us see your truth. May all the glory and honor from our life be given you. We thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, from this week, for the next few weeks, we are going to begin a new series, Rediscovering the Holy Spirit. Who is Holy Spirit? What does he do? When you think of the Holy Spirit, there are many aspects depending on where you are standing at this juncture of your journey of faith. Generally speaking, the Holy Spirit is pretty much a forgotten God to many of us. You know, years ago, Pastor Francis Chan published a book entitled A Forgotten God, and he was referring to the Holy Spirit as the forgotten God to many Christendom, both Protestant and Catholic. Some of us, on the other hand, may be quite advanced, so to speak, with the Holy Spirit, believing that you know the Holy Spirit enough. And to most of us, we can confidently confess that Holy Spirit is the third person of the Holy Trinity. He is a divine person of God who is co-equal with the Father and the Son. This confession is an orthodox theology and a sound biblical view as to who Holy Spirit is. With this confession, we are all good and doctrinally sound, and we are on the right path. However, we may have questions like this. If the Holy Spirit is the divine person of God, what does that really mean to me? Do I really know the Holy Spirit, other than the head knowledge of the right theology? What does indwelling of the Holy Spirit really mean to me? Bible talks about indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He lives in me, but what does that mean to me? And how can I experience the Holy Spirit day-to-day life? If Holy Spirit indwells me, why do I continue to struggle with my fleshly desire? Is there any way that I can really live in the power of the Holy Spirit? How can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? And how can I bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Questions like this may go on and on. There are a lot of questions you may have this morning. And if you have any of these questions in your mind, you are in the right place. We are going to take a new journey to rediscover the Holy Spirit from scratch, with the goal of activating the power of God in our life. And before we take our journey, let us begin with this prayer that Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 3. This is our goal. Let's pray together this prayer, because at the end of our journey of this series, Rediscovering of the Holy Spirit, we will become like this, as Apostle Paul prayed 2,000 years ago, on behalf of the church in Asia Minor and also, thousands of years apart, which is in our generation. I think this prayer is still a valid prayer that we need to pray so that God would be able to answer. Let us recite with unison this prayer together before we begin. Let's do that now. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, that to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. You know, at the end of our series, we will experience more of God than ever before we have experienced. And each and every day we might be filled with more, with the fullness of God, because God is infinite, as Apostle Paul indicated here. His love is infinite, his power is infinite, and his riches are infinite. And he is willing to pour out his infinite fullness of blessings upon those who go hard after him. So where shall we begin? I'd like to begin with the most foundational aspects of the Holy Spirit this morning. You know, if we miss, we miss all this foundation. Let me say up front the proposition we'll develop today. As the first topic on Holy Spirit is this: the Holy Spirit is the life giver. The Holy Spirit is the life giver. That's the proposition that we'll dwell on and develop. You know, what does that mean really to us? Holy Spirit is life giver. You know, without life, we don't exist. Someone has to give a life to us so that we may exist. And that someone who gives a life to us is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the life giver of all lives, for all, in all of us and all humankind. And there are three aspects of life the Holy Spirit is involved. The first is our natural life. The Holy Spirit is the giver of our natural life. You know, what does that mean? We need to go back all the way to Genesis. Would you turn with me to Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2. Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Or some other, the translation said that the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Before the creation of the life on earth, Bible says the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, was hovering on the surface of the waters. And hovering or moving over is, in Hebrew word, the original Bible is rachaf, and which means brooding or fertilizing or incubating. It's not just moving over without purpose, but purpose of incubating and brooding. It's just like a hen may incubate its egg, or a bird incubate its egg over. The moving over or hovering has that connotation. So the Holy Spirit was incubating over the surface of the water so that life would beget. And this is the first picture of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. And if you go to second chapter of Genesis 2, Genesis 2:7, the Bible says, "Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." You know, when God made man man in Hebrew is Adam, from the dust, and in Hebrew, Adama. He blew the breath of life to the dust, and the dust became the first man. We call him Adam as a pronoun, but actually Adam means just man. And what is the breath of life God is talking about here? Breath of life, if you read Ezekiel 37:6, let me read it for you. Bible said, I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. So breath has to do with life. It's a cause of life. And Ezekiel 37:14, God says, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. So the breath of God and the Holy Spirit are synonymous, based on Ezekiel 37, verse 6 and 14. And if we bring back to Genesis 2:7, God says, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. The breath of life is basically the Holy Spirit. So Ezekiel connects the breath of God with the Spirit of God as a divine life giver, and Genesis used the same word. So when God made man, he put breath, the Spirit of God, his spirit, into the nostril of the first man, Adam, from the dust, Adama. And that dust became a living being. Life came. Life was caused by God, by the Holy Spirit. And that dust, nothing but the dust, has become a living being. So the Holy Spirit is the life giver in the creation of man. And we breathe because the Spirit of God came into our nostril. That's why we breathe, because we have Spirit of God. A Spirit of God causes us to breathe. So the Holy Spirit is the creator. Just like Father and the Son are the creator, Holy Spirit was there before the foundation of the world. That's how fundamental, how far we need to go back about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's a life giver of our natural life. Without his ministry, we would not breathe. That means we would not exist. We breathe now because the Spirit of God came into our nostril so that we can breathe. So each time we breathe, we can thank the Holy Spirit for causing us to be able to breathe. Isn't that amazing? You know, we have forgotten about this ministry of the Holy Spirit. You know, we are interested in the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, signs and gifts and so on, but we all, you know, we have to all the way go back to the creation, because he is creator himself. And the second point I'd like to make is the Holy Spirit is the giver of our spiritual life. You know, not just natural life, that's why we may exist. Every human being exists because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He gave every person the breath of life, but he does more than that. Holy Spirit is the giver of our spiritual life. Let's jump to New Testament, Gospel of John, chapter 3. Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. John 3, 5 through 8, here's the word of God. Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows whether it wishes, and you bear. You hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So Jesus was telling this to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a pious religious man, a member of Jewish ruling council. If we think of his status in our days, he would be someone like the law professor of Harvard Law School and the member of a Supreme Court judge. So he was a very lofty guy. You know, he is actually, top guy, so to speak, in his generation in regards to the law. But he was yet to be born again. He was a natural man. Holy Spirit gave him breath so that he may exist, but he didn't understand the realm of God at all because he was not born of the Spirit yet. And Jesus is telling him that the Holy Spirit is the life giver of our spiritual life. You must be born again, born of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the cause of spiritual life, which is more than our natural fleshly life. Before anyone can experience, even desire, such fullness of God, he must become a new kind of a person. And it is a new birth, not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. It is a radical change of the heart that we may become a new creation, as Apostle Paul put. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And the old has gone, the new has come. So this ministry of the Holy Spirit is called regeneration. You know, he's the one who generates us into physical life, but he's the one also who regenerates us so that we would be able to understand the things of God. Invisible. That which is invisible, now visible, through the eyes that we have, and that's the work of the Holy Spirit. The regenerator in electrical engineering, if you see a lot of, the electric, lines over the sky, electricity has to be regenerated because it cannot just, go through infinitely because it loses power, so you have to boost up the signal, electric signal, so that it can be it can travel even further. That is called regenerator. And Holy Spirit is like the regenerator for our life. And he regenerates the dead into a live being. And this is there is nothing more important for any individual than he would experience this change. A new birth. Being born of the Holy Spirit, as Jesus called it. And the new birth is a result of the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit is the life giver of our spiritual life. And Jesus used the analogy of the wind to explain the sovereign freedom that the Holy Spirit exercises as the Lord of all life. By the way, pneuma is Holy Spirit in Greek, and same word for wind in Greek. Pneuma, same word refers to both Holy Spirit and wind in Greek. And Hebrew, the same thing. In Hebrew, ruach refers to the wind and also the Spirit. It's amazing. And Jesus used this analogy in verse 38, the wind blows wherever it pleases. So Jesus is referring the sovereign freedom of the Holy Spirit. Just like wind, moves as it wills, and Holy Spirit has his own will to blow as it wills and touch the people on earth to regenerate. Like the wind blows wherever it wills, the Holy Spirit blows wherever he wills. Imagine that you have a sailing boat. in the middle of the ocean. Not the motored one, but just you have sail. That's all you have. And we cannot start the wind blowing. And we cannot change the direction of the wind either. And as we desire. We have to wait until wind blows and set sail to the direction of the wind so that the boat can move. Use the power of that wind. Just like that, unless the Holy Spirit imparts the life-giving work onto us, you know, we may still remain as a natural man. You know, Greg Bunstein, he's my friend who lives in San Francisco Bay Area. He was a brilliant man. He got a PhD from Berkeley, from electrical engineering. He's a Jewish guy. He was a consultant too, to our project. And he's a semi-professional sailor, so to speak. He loves the ocean and sailing through the wind, San Francisco Bay especially. You know, not too long ago, I had a conference call with him, and in the middle of the conference call, he said, "Young, I think we have to stop our conference call now." I said, "Why?" Because he's getting paid. You know, when we have a conference call, he charges hourly, right? But he said, "Oh, I want to stop, you know, today at this juncture." And he said, "You know, Young, we have a lot of wind in San Francisco Bay. I want to go out to the bay and to the sailing," because he's a sailing maniac, so to speak, and he want to catch that moment when wind blows. So he, you know, suspended it. You know, he gave up money that he can make, you know, with the conference call, and he went off to the San Francisco Bay and set sail, and he enjoyed. And he said, "I said, you know, a few weeks later, how was it?" He said, "It was fantastic. The good wind," and he was able to sail through the ocean. So he was waiting for the opportune time when wind blows. He knew that he cannot do anything until wind blows. Just like that, no one can create the wind but the Holy Spirit. And no one can give the spiritual birth but the Holy Spirit. That's how important he is in our life. He has to cause us to see, you know, invisible with our naked eye. That is called faith. He has to impart that faith unto us so that we'll be able to see from the lens of faith. And the Holy Spirit exercises his sovereign freedom in giving life to the people he wills. He is the Lord. And God said to Moses, "I am gracious to whom I am gracious." You know, Moses had a lot of questions. "Why you chose me? Why you chose Israel?" That's God's answer. "I am gracious to whom I am gracious." Actually, God did not even have to choose Moses or Israel or even us, because everyone sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But out of God's sovereign freedom and love, he decided to choose some people out of his grace and mercy. No one deserves. You know, we don't have any entitlement whatsoever why we are saved, why you are saved, why I am saved. It's not by faith we are saved. It's by God's grace we are saved through our faith. Faith is nothing but response when God has given this grace called new life, new birth. We just took it out of our gratitude. And this grace of God is called irresistible grace. We cannot resist it. You know, there are influences which can be resisted, but there are those that are irresistible, because it operates beneath a person's consciousness, transforming the root of his affections and thus removing his hostility to God. You know, the new birth the Holy Spirit imparts to us is one of those that is irresistible. You know, as the agents of life-giving, the Holy Spirit regenerates freely whomever He pleases, and by this, draw a person to the Son, Jesus Christ, enabling him to believe in the Son and be saved. And Jesus said, John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life. And Jesus is referring to the spiritual life. It is the Spirit who gives life. John 6:63. You know, in my journey of faith, I still clearly remember what happened to me. You know, I was 21, and you know, there were a Bible study group in Southern California when I you know, got to the United States, and I attended a Bible study that night. I came back home, but I wasn't still convinced. I was, so to speak, seeker. I was seeking to believe, but my mind was, my mind couldn't, you know, grasp what the gospel is saying, especially the creation. I couldn't understand really, you know, God can create, you know, because my mind was bombarded with naturalistic view of life. We came to be by coincidence, you know, evolution, so to speak. So even if I tried to believe, I couldn't even move because Genesis 1:1 was the biggest stumbling block for my mind. I couldn't break off with my own will. So anything God talks, you know, the Bible talks about love of God, you know, doesn't register to me because I was not, you know, able to embrace God really created the whole thing. But that night, you know, I was same person. You know, I still have a lot of questions, and I was skeptical at best, and you know, I fell asleep, you know, that night after I came back from a Bible study. And next morning I woke up and I opened the Bible, Genesis 1, and somehow I was able to believe. Something happened which I didn't know. It was under my consciousness. Something was transformed, changed my mind. So when I read the Bible, Genesis, actually I saw the light coming out of the Bible and was able to accept God really created. God is the creator of all things, including my life. It was a very strange experience. You know, I woke up and I felt radical changes in my heart and in my mind. And I was crying because of my sinfulness. And my biggest sin, I confessed that morning, was I did not acknowledge God as the creator, as a redeemer, as a sustainer of my life. And I committed my life to Jesus. And I didn't know what that was. It was a very strange experience. I never heard of Holy Spirit back then. But years later, when I learned about the Bible more thoroughly, and then it's the work of the Holy Spirit, I said, aha, yeah, it gotta be Holy Spirit who regenerated my mind to be able to understand the things that which are invisible. And I believe, you know, I didn't try to believe, but it was believed. The faith came as a gift that night. And I believe the Holy Spirit removed my hostility to God and transformed my heart so that I can trust in the Lord Jesus as my sin bearer for the first time in my life. And I knew that I was born again of the Holy Spirit that day. And the Holy Spirit walked on me and imparted a new birth in me that day. He blew His breath of life again while I was sleeping. So when I woke up, things were completely changed. And everything looked so beautiful, God's creation. When you look at nature from God's creation point of view, it looks so beautiful. You know, much, much more mysterious and amazing than just looking at the beautiful ocean and so on. And Ephesians 2:8-9, it said, it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. You know, we cannot be proud of being a Christian because we didn't do anything. Some wind blows to us, and then we just caught that wind, the wind, so that we will be able to move, which is our faith. So our Holy Spirit is the life giver of our spiritual life. Very important, second fact. But there's one more, which is very important thing. The Holy Spirit is the giver of our resurrected life. Holy Spirit is the giver of our resurrected life. Look at Romans 8:11. I want all of us to turn to Romans, which is very important verse of the Bible. Romans 8:11. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who indwells you. This verse gives us two crucial truths about the resurrection. First of all, it is the Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. It's the power of the resurrection is the power of the Holy Spirit, as the power of incarnation was the power of the Holy Spirit, who begot the Son of God in the body of Virgin Mary when Jesus came to this world. It was by the power of the Holy Spirit Jesus came to be as a human baby. And with the same power, the Son of God was raised from the dead. And that power is power of the Holy Spirit, as Romans 8:11. So that's for the Jesus. But also Romans 8:11 told us that the same Holy Spirit will give life to our mortal bodies, when we will be resurrected from the dead. In the same way the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit will give us immortal bodies from our dead body. We'll be buried under the ground. Our spirit will meet with God as soon as we die, but our body will decay. But when Jesus comes, our body will be resurrected. And how? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit never departs from us. And He will be the agent of resurrection into the glorified body so that we can meet Jesus in heaven. So that ministry of Holy Spirit has not yet happened to anyone of us. And all the saints who are buried under the ground, from the long time, they will be resurrected altogether by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So Holy Spirit ministry is much more beyond His earthly ministry on us. He indwells us forever. So today we talked about the Holy Spirit is the life giver, and of three aspects. Natural life, we breathe, we exist because of His ministry, and now we are born again. If you are born again of the Spirit, it's because of Him who decided to come to your life out of His sovereign freedom and the mercy, and we are saved through faith. We accept it. We recognize the wind, and we grab it. And something that is not yet happened but will happen is we'll be resurrected into glorious body and spend with that body with Jesus in all eternity. It's amazing. So what does that mean to us? Each time we breathe, we thank Him. Holy Spirit, thank you that I can breathe in, breathe out. Every breath we take, we give thanks to Him. And not only that, we can thank Him because we can see this invisible thing. We are in the world, but we are not of the world because of the Holy Spirit gave that heart. We recognize Jesus is the Messiah, Redeemer. We are in need of a Savior, and that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Nobody has to teach me that I'm a sinner. But when Holy Spirit came into my life, I was able to confess Oh Lord God, I am a sinner before you. I don't deserve anything, but you came into my life. I thank you for saving me. You didn't have to do anything, but you saved out of your sovereign will. Holy Spirit, thank you. We can do that. And eternal life. Death is not our final destination, because Jesus died for us. He tasted death for us. So when he died, actually, will be our spirit will be with God, as Stephen saw right before he was persecuted by stone, being stoned. He saw Jesus standing up, waiting for him. So that will be what will happen to us, our spirit. But our body, even our body, will be resurrected when Jesus comes. When he calls our name, our body will respond and transform into the glorious body that we can spend in all eternity with Jesus. That is something will come to pass. We don't know that thing, so nothing to fear. Death shouldn't be the subject of our fear at all, because it will come to pass. And eternal life is our final destination. And we can even experience the glimpse of resurrected life while we are on earth. Having that blessed hope stuck in our mind. So in every breath we take, let us recognize the presence of the Holy Spirit, who gave us our breath of life and renew our spirit, and enter into this powerful presence of the Holy Spirit daily. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are the Spirit of God. You were there before nothing began to exist. You are pre-existent, a holy triune God. We thank you for your ministry from the creation and the redemption and the glorification. You were there, you are here, and you will be there. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and you are God. May your spirit touch us in this room. So whoever is yet born of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, out of your sovereign will and love and mercy, touch the heart so that faith would be able to grow out of dust. Let your power be lived in our life day to day as we breathe your wind out of our nostril. Thank you, in Jesus' name we pray.
Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. It was grace that turned my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy ran, unending love, amazing grace. market in me. This word, my hope secure. He will my shield and portion me as long as life endures. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rain. Unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rain. Unending love, amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
Glorious Father, Son, and Spirit, we thank you for your ministry upon us. May your name be always glorified in all over the world. Every tongue and every the people, ethnic group, glorify the name of Jesus, and which none other name God has given but His name, by which we must be saved. And Holy Spirit, you are the one hidden behind it who regenerate our life so that we will be able to see Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We thank you for your ministry as well. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus and love of God who is in heaven and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forever. Amen.